Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, welcome back to Facebook Live. We're Oikos Ministries. We do a weekly broadcast and a live broadcast and teaching this time through the Sermon on the Mount. We've taught through chapter 5, and last week we started on chapter 6. And just a very quick review, we started with the Beatitudes, or the nine blessings of the Beatitudes, which we believe are the nine characteristics of the DNA of the new birth. We taught through that. We taught through thought about Jesus said, unless our righteousness would exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we would in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. So we talked through that idea of the righteousness, a righteousness greater than all the religion that you've ever known, a great righteousness, that imputed righteousness through Christ, and the grace of God, the power of grace to help us live out this this higher law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that was literally the power of God infused into the believer to live this out. Last week we talked on the secret devotions that alms, prayer, and fasting. And so we taught on those secret devotions that Jesus commanded us that we do these things. And let me emphasize, he said do them, not just believe them, but to do these things, and that and through our secret devotions that God would reward us openly, there would be a manifestation of that. And so we contrasted the idea of the religious notion of letting everybody see your good works versus the secret devotion of all giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. And so the quiet going through those things, and this is just the agenda of the new birth. It's the Christian constitution, if you would. And so if you've missed any of that, you can go back and catch up with it on Oikos, in our ministry's, website, housechurchesusa.com, www.housechurchesusa.com. You can catch it there, listen to it on podcast, YouTube, all sorts of way to listen and catch up with that. And so tonight we're going to continue Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Very short reading. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I want to do something a little unusual. I want to jump ahead to the last verse of chapter 6, or the last two verses. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, it will be next week or maybe the week after. We'll just see how things go tonight before we get to that. But I want you, I really believe that the end of, you know, it's really in chapter 5, at the very end of chapter 5, he says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. It's like, wow, this thunderous verse. It's like he puts it at the end, he crescendos with be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And so you build up to that, you almost kind of forget where you're going with it, and then boom, you get this one capsule of a thought from chapter 5. The same with chapter 6. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it seems to me there's a covenant in the new covenant. God's covenant with us is that you do my bidding and I will do yours. And it seems like this is kind of the deal of the new covenant. We do what God says to do and he takes care of us. It's a pretty cool thought, and I wanted to put that ahead of our time. And so because of what I'm fixing to say, or what Jesus taught us. So remember, chapter 6 started with secret devotions of almsgiving. Basically, it becomes very prevalent. It becomes one of the first heartfelt things in the new birth that we minister to poor, the people who are underprivileged. that almsgiving is giving to poor people or to people who really are in need. And so that becomes a priority to the Christian life. Secondly, he said prayer in secret and then fasting in secret, which go hand in hand. And so we see these secret devotions of the Christian life. And now he says something that's absolutely amazing. He commands us, do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth. Now, when we think about that, especially here in Western industrialized nations and in our Western culture in America, I mean, come on. Most everything we do is to lay up treasures for ourselves on earth. If you think that through, Jesus said, do not lay up treasures on earth. And literally, we spend all of our life laying up treasures on earth. Think about it. Think this through, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. Now, let's just look at the idea of treasure. It's an interesting word. The word in the from the Greek language is where we get this English rendering treasure. It's called thesaurus or thesauros. And so when you look at that, at you know what a thesaurus is? Well, a word treasure. It's a word trove where literally you could get all the synonyms and antonyms of a single word and literally show you how every English rendering of some word could be used. And again, a word treasure. King Solomon told us something in Proverbs 16:16. I wrote it down. Let me write it to you. He said, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Now, when you think that through, that the wisdom and understanding, these are all come from words. And if you take this into the New Covenant, I understand what Solomon's wisdom was all about. We all seek some sort of wisdom. There's the world's wisdom, and then there's the wisdom of God. I really believe, and one night I'm going to teach on this one, or I might do a series on it. Literally, I believe that when God, when the Bible talks about wisdom, it's literally talking about the cross of Jesus Christ. The wisdom that turns the world upside down. The wisdom of God found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When we talk about the wisdom of God, it is the cross of Jesus. And so when you look at this idea of the way Christ taught us to think, that to be first, become last, to be great, become least, to be, humble yourself. To live, you have to die. I mean, these paradoxes that Christ taught us literally are the wisdom of the cross. And so when we begin to look at the wisdom and the new birth, and I don't want to go off on a tangent there, he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. Look, the whole world is seeking after earthly treasure. Think about it. This audience seeks, most of you just came home from a hard day of seeking after earthly treasure. Am I right or wrong? I mean, we do. We just do. Now, he says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. Now, there's some great passages that we're going to look at that build up on this thing. I want you to turn with me to, before I go, let me do one more thing on this definition. Treasure literally means a deposit of wealth. All right. If you literally look into this word, it means the place where things are stored. It could either mean the treasure itself or the place where the things are stored. Okay. So let's look at a few passages that will build on our understanding on this. So we'll see what Jesus is telling us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 35 through 37. Matthew 12, verses 35 through 37. Now, a little background here. Jesus is casting out a demon, okay? Matthew 12, 35 through 37. While he's casting out these demons, people begin to tell him, he cast out devils by the devil. I mean, wow, it's just, they're really giving credit to the devil for something that the Holy Spirit was doing. Jesus warned them, don't do that. That's a terrible thing to give credit to the devil for something that the Holy Spirit is doing. He said, look, you could say something against God and get forgiven. You could say something against Jesus and get forgiven, but you cannot speak against the Holy Ghost and get forgiven. I mean, this is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is a terrible thing. And so we need to take care before we give the credit to the devil for something the Holy Spirit's doing. And so so that's the context where this comes out. Now watch. In verse 35, it says, let's back up to verse 33. He says, the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Look at their treasure. The good man has a good treasure in the heart. The evil man has an evil treasure in the heart. But I say unto you that every idle word that men speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For thy words you will be justified, and by thy words you will be condemned. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we've treasured up in the heart will come out. And look at that, thesaurus. Again, the word of God hidden into our heart, filling the heart of man. When we fill our hearts with God's word, when our heart is set and fixed on God's word, we are literally treasuring up the things of God. Now, again, I want to preface something before we go too deep in this teaching, because he said, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth. You see, I don't think money is relevant to this in any way, shape, or form. Now, I can tell you that when you start looking at the idea that earthly treasure, without a doubt, begins with the finance to purchase. I get that. But when we start talking about heavenly treasure, all right, when a shifting of the values is what we have to look at, that when our value system, and literally that's what's treasure, is what our heart deems valuable, all right? And so in order to shift the value system, right now, if we're not able to present the Word of God in such a way that people begin to value it once again, right now, our nation does not value God's word because there's been such a perversion of God's word. When people hear God's word and it begins to be taught, wow, there's a real value to it. You say, wow, the word of God is valuable. Why aren't these things said? Why aren't they taught? And really, we have a whole litany of folks, or a whole just a whole group of people teaching things. They're majoring on minors and they're talking about things that are just about the world. And when the Word of God is literally being neglected in its fullness and its entirety. But when a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. So make the tree good, put in God's Word. Again, the shifting of the value systems, I begin to value God's word. All right, stay with me. Let's look at Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, the whole chapter is dealing with one parable after another. But there's a couple of them I want to look at in particular. In verse 13:44, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found it, he hides, and for joy thereof goes and sell all that he has and buys that field. When you discover, when the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is revealed to you, all right, I know in my own life that everything I deemed valuable prior to Christianity, prior to the revelation of the cross, everything that I deemed valuable went away when I discovered by revelation from God that I discovered the kingdom of God. It was far more valuable than anything I had ever seen, witnessed, or heard of. And I said, I sell out. I do not want that former thing. I don't want what I used to want. Some of the things that just astound me today. Look, I was a heavy duty drinker. If I drank one drink, I'm going to drink the whole bottle. I'm going to drink until I could not drink anymore. If I smoked one hit off of some marijuana, I smoked the whole bag. If I took one bill, I took them all. I'm going to tell you, when they talk about addictive behavior, I was the poster boy for addictive behavior. I am not addicted. I'm not recovering. I'm telling you right now, when I discovered the kingdom of God, he set me free, and those things are gone in my life. My values have shifted. Those are not even a temptation any longer. You could fill this room with all the stuff I used to be addicted to, and I no longer crave it. Ha! So it just goes beyond me when people talk about, well, they're recovering addicts and they never can recover. Man, get saved. Well, they are saved. They asked Jesus, I know, I'm going to tell you right now, you hadn't sold out and bought the field. Don't tell me you're any different from me, or, well, I don't understand. I've been there, done that, smoked that, took that, drank that, ate that. And I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ set me free. You can be set free too. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Look at it carefully. He says in verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like to treasure hidden in a field. I'm going to tell you right now, the kingdom of God is a hidden treasure. And we'd go to church and we try to find it in church. We try to find it in religion. We try to find it here, there. We look all over. But let me tell you, when you discover the treasure of the kingdom of God, listen to me carefully. I think if I had all of my ministry to go back over and do over, one thing I would change, the emphasis on church would shift to the kingdom of God. I tell you right now, people say, well, he's going to church. Now, let me tell you what you need to get to. You need to become a citizen of the kingdom of God and learn citizen behavior and how we behave in the kingdom of God. When we learn that we are not a democracy, we're in a theocracy under a monarch, King Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God, we have no opinion, no vote, none of that. But let me tell you, it's the greatest liberty and freedom that I've ever known. Because nobody can cheat it. Only King Jesus gets his way. And this kingdom will have no end, will last forever. Glory be to God. Wonderful thing to say. So when you discover the kingdom of God, wait a minute. He hid the treasure and he said, well, and sold everything he had and bought the field so this could be mine. I sold out. Me and my wife sold out our former careers. We left those behind. We quit that stuff. And went forward with the things of the kingdom of God. And we've lived in that economy ever since. It's an awesome way to live. We buy the field. You buy in totally, putting your money where your mouth is. And I'm not talking about in the televangelist's pocket. You want to see the value in the kingdom of God? You begin to value those least of his brother, the one who's on the least. The false prophet is on the TV saying, you need to sow that seed in this good field because I'm the man of God and I'm prosperous. If you put it in my field, let me tell you what, there's a curse associated with giving to the rich. So the bottom line is that God says that when you give to the poor, you lending to him and he will repay. And I trust God, even if it takes till his coming again, he repays the alms that we give to the poor. When's the last time you gave to somebody till her? When's the last time you treated someone who is in really poverty like as if you were you? Huh? Because we'll go out on a limb. We'll borrow money. We'll stretch. You say, well, I can't borrow money to do that. Why couldn't you? You'd borrow money to cater to yourself. Come on. We won't go out on a limb for somebody else. Give. Bless. Pour it out. Let's keep going. Let me read you another parable right here. In verse 52, some of y'all might be tuning out by now. Said, oh no, he's talking serious about money now. Therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. His treasure. Again, a scribe is a person who has been discipled and he has learned kingdom value. And so now he has in his treasure. Let me tell you something. I have in my treasure new and old. I understand things of the new covenant principles and I understand Old Testament. I understand things of my new covenant. I understand things I knew from my worldly past. They're both still there. I understand them. I know how to be a shrewd businessman. I know how to deal shrewdly with money. I know how to hold money. I know how to give money. I know how to do both with finance. But when we look at it, the treasure is the Word of God hid in our heart. And I want to tell you, the source of the ability to get wealth comes from the wisdom of God, not from shrewd finance. It comes from God. It's out of God's wisdom that this Christian or the godly economy comes. Look, there's a world economy and there's people who jump in there and get way more money and stuff than we're not even trying to compare apples to apples here. What I'm talking about is living in God's economy and God's kingdom. And literally the scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven has the word of God stored up in his heart. And it's out of there that he lives in God's economy. What to do, what not to do, when to do, when not to do. I understand what the Old Testament says. I understand what New Testament says. I understand the old way of doing business. I understand the New Covenant way of doing business. I think we have to wrap our brain about it. Now let's turn to Matthew 19. I want you to see another one now. We're going to get real clear about this treasure in heaven. Matthew 19, 16th verse. Behold, one came. I'm going to read the whole thing. Give me a second. Behold, one came unto him and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said to him, why you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which? Jesus said, you shall do no murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What lack I yet? Jesus said to him, if you will be perfect. Now, didn't Matthew 5:48 tell us to be perfect? Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have. Give to the poor. You shall have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. Whoa. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said to him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said to him, verily I say unto you that he which hath followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you who have forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, here's a great story, and it literally, the whole point of this story, he said, sell what you have, and you're going to have, give it to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Well, there's a very pointed definition. You sell what you got and give to poor people, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Wow. Who does that? Look what the young man did. He went away sad. I explained this some last week. I'm going to hit it again. He said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus quoted to him. He added some stuff, but he quoted mostly the last six commandments of the 10. And honor your father and mother. You should not kill, not commit adultery, all this stuff. Oh, all these things I've kept from my youth. He has been a great humanitarian. The horizontal issues of human relationships. He was a good man. Okay, he dealt fairly with his neighbor. But when it came to the other one, Jesus said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have riches in heaven, treasure in heaven, then come follow me. He went away sad. Jesus put the axe on the root. The real root was that his God was his money. He loved his appearance before men, that people called him a good man, but his God was his money. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts here. His God was his money. And I'm telling you right now, many who are listening to this right this second, your God is your money. And you love the concept of the idea that in the end, going to heaven and being with Jesus, but you hate the idea of giving up any treasure on the earth right now. Many of you have come to some kind of tithing agreement with God or some kind of a financial understanding. There are many people, and look, Americans are by and large generous type givers with that. But the idea of giving till it hurts to poor people, we're not talking about for a cause so they can build their building or buy new pews or carpet the sanctuary or get another church loan or give the pastor a vacation or give the, it ain't none of all that stuff. It's basically giving to somebody who can't give back to you. Come on. Well, they might misuse. That ain't what the criteria on this giving was about. The criteria was give. Matter of fact, the idea is from the Old Covenant. If there's there's one idea in the Old Covenant, it's called kerem. Nothing devoted that's been devoted to the Lord can be redeemed. I mean, basically, it is dead, gone. It's done. The preacher don't get it. The priest don't get it. Basically, it was just devoted to destruction. That's what kerem was all about. He said, what a waste. If God said do it, it's not a waste. If God said do it, it's not a waste. You want to know what a waste of money is? Buying alcohol, alcohol, alcohol. Give me a beer. Give me another beer. Give me another beer. Give me a drink. Give me another drink. Give me another drink. Give me another. How much does that stuff cost now? I don't even know. Somebody would have to enlighten me. I know one thing. It cost a fortune back when I was doing it. And it, with inflation, I'm sure it cost more than what I spent back in the day. I can't even imagine. Give me more. Give me more. More, 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 more. You're talking about a waste. And what for? You can get a liver disease and die young. So the doctor can take care of you all your life because you're sick. What's the point? I've yet to hear one good benefit of alcohol. And it's for your stomach's oft infirmity. Oh, shut up. You got so many drugs and things now to take care of a weak stomach. Come on. You got to get drunk? Help me now. You want to waste the money? You got 100 things in your closet and you buy 101. You want a waste of money? We got to put another storeroom up to get more of stuff we ain't even using. You want to wait? Those are wastes. Look, when the woman with the alabaster box broke the alabaster box and poured it on Jesus' feet, what a waste! You are worshiping. It's not a waste. You see, worship means I'm going to give something. I'm literally going to give something and get nothing in return. I'm going to pour out myself as an offering and a sacrifice. Nothing in return. The young man went away sad because he wasn't going to get nothing out of this deal except some futuristic eternal life. He wanted his stuff, and he wanted to go to heaven too. And I believe this is the problem now. See, today, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Let me tell you what, there's 1,000 preachers who'd lined up and tell him how to compromise the two. You can have your cake and eat it too. You can be rich now. God wants you rich and blessed. And every word blessed means more money coming in. This is a lie. I'm telling you, the airways are flooded with lying prophets who are trying to profiteer off of you, and you love it, and you keep sending them money. I wish every one of them thieves would be broke tomorrow morning. I pray God's curse on their finance to the very root. May they be plucked up by the root and broke. Lion devils. There I said it. That's another going phrase. There I said it. I'm going to leave it alone. All right. The rich young ruler, he went away sad. Why would you be so sad? Didn't Jesus say the kingdom of heaven's like this? If you find it in the field, you sell out. Yippee! I've found something greater. He didn't find something greater. He had no revelation of who he was talking. Do you understand? He was talking to God. and the blind man couldn't see it. He was more blind than Bartimaeus. He couldn't see God right in front. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I could see this proud, arrogant young fellow standing toe-to-toe with God himself and acting like he had something to bring to the table. What must I do? Go sell it. Give it to the poor. Follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven and come follow me. I don't like that deal. It's not a good deal. His God was his money. The Bible says, I read it this morning, Psalm 115. He says, the gods of the nations are silver and gold. They have eyes, but they see not. They have noses. They don't smell. They have mouths. They can't talk. They have throats. They can't swallow and speak. They have legs and they cannot stand. Feet they can't walk. Hands they can't hold. And the people who make these idols are like them, and so is everyone who follows them. Blind, dead. You see, I serve a living God. He's alive. He's not a dead religion. He's not still hanging on a Catholic church's cross. He's not dead. He's alive. He's the living God. He reached his holy arm into my depravity in 1981 and pulled me out of the miry clay. Pull me out of my sin. He didn't rehab me. He killed me and gave me a new life. Excuse me. Treasure in heaven. You want some treasure in heaven? I mean, I guarantee you right now, you know how much is in your 401k. It's just sinking quick, ain't it? Keep on electing them. You know how much your retirement is. You know what your Social Security is. You know what all your benefits are. You know how much money you got in the bank. Huh? You know all that stuff. How much treasure you have in heaven? I'm going to tell you, I love the old saying, some people are so poor that all they have is money. We're talking about treasure in heaven. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Now, this is spoken in the same context of the Sermon on the Mount. Treasure in heaven, there's what it is. I just don't know who wants any. See, we love our earthly treasures. We just do, all right? I'm starting verse 13. Sorry, I can't see anymore. 13 through 22. Luke 12, 13 through 22. And one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto me, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. That don't define, if what your money can buy and what money you've saved and all, if that defines your life, if what you possess right now defines your life, you don't even have a life. It's all temporal. A man's life does not consist of the things which he possesses. That's what Jesus said. All right? It's not in the abundance of possession. And he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said this will I do. Now he's talking inside his own head now. I will pull down my barns and build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul! You have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is a very sobering verse. When I think of rich men come and gone, we all inherit the same plot of death. The poor man is buried in the same plot that the rich man is. The multimillionaire, the man who earned a lot, dies and goes to the same graveyard as the man who had nothing and died a pauper. And then it leaves all the living to fight over and pick your bones of everything you ever laid up. Sobering, ain't it? Yet so many die and go to that little plot of ground in death where the worms eat you, where you rot, your flesh goes away, your stuff means nothing, your deadlines, your time frame, your 401k, your retirement, your Social Security, everything you ever had, your diamonds, your jewels, your stuff, your money, your land, means nothing. It's nothing. And then you stand before the eternal God, and there you're a pauper with nothing? But I believed in you. God would say, no, you didn't. You believed in you. But God said the sinner's prayer. Yeah, and then you prayed for prosperity. And you asked for me to give you everything you want. And just like in the wilderness, the Bible says they lusted after flesh. They lusted in the wilderness. And he said, God gave them their lusts and sent leanness to their souls. So they got fatness of flesh, but then they got leanness of soul. What have you in heaven? What have you got? What have you laid up in heaven? What could ever be called to your account? Think about it. Some of you right now are struggling, striving. What can I buy next? What can I buy next? How can I get this? Boy, I want this. How can I get it? I could do this and I can do that. You're conniving every way. Oh God, please help me get this. Can you believe it? We ask God into this folly. Do you know what it means to covet? Look what it said. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. That's how the parable starts. For a man's life consists not in the things of the abundance of the things which he possesses. Covetousness, the Bible says, is idolatry. Wanting the world is idolatry. It's another God. It's worshiping another God. And when all you can think of is how to store up more earthly stuff, would you please think that through? Well, what will I retire on? You might not live to retirement. One of the greatest blessings of 41 years in Christianity, one of my greatest blessings, is having gone to over 30 countries that have true poverty. Let you in on a little secret. Poor children, the poorest of the poor, unless they're in pain from some illness right there, the poorest of the poor children are the happiest people I've ever met in my life. When I look at the poverty children smiling, it's like their smile comes off their face. It's so big. It lights up. And when you see hundreds of young children in poverty, no shoes, no decent clothes, rags hanging off of them, and they're smiling ear to ear. And I think of the spoiled, discontented, little snotty-nosed brats in America. Yeah, I want this, I want this, I want that. I can't even imagine what has gone so wrong. How can we be so blind? Have we missed true riches? The Bible talks to us about the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke God's word and becomes unfruitful. You see, riches will lie to you. Riches will tell you you'll reach your hand in your pocket and feel that money in your wallet, or you look at your 401k or your portfolio, you'll look at and you say, I'm okay. When the Bible says, man, You're poor and wretched and miserable, blind and naked. You'll feel, oh, I'm secure, and your eternal security is gone. There's nothing, but it's just the frailty of your flesh holding you up, dangling over a certain eternity in damnation. Wow. But money has told you you're all right. Money will tell you you're better than this one or that one. Oh, what a great lie. What a great lie. I'm gonna store up more. Man, we've been scaling down for years, and I want to tell you, I'll move stuff and I look at, and I won't even unbox it. I look at it and say, what can I do to get rid of everything I've ever had that I don't use right this second? Get more stuff. Wait a minute, get rid of it. Sell it. Give it away. Do something. Stop storing up treasure on earth. You're going to die, and it's who's going to be for? Most of it, I can tell you, your uncle's going to get. His name is Sam. That's where most of it's going. Why? When I retire, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to go, yeah, you're going to have a heart attack and die and be, you know, then you're over with. Sobering, ain't it? Second Corinthians chapter 4. Stay with it. Y'all still with me out there? I see a few of our faithful friends are still. I wonder how these reels are going to play next week and, people are just going to be really hating on the fact that we're shooting down money. Well, I guess you don't use no money. Let me tell you something. I think money is a tool. I don't think anything more or less of it than a tool. I always have. It just gets the job done. When I need some, God gives it to me. When I don't have need it, I don't get none. It's a tool. But if we're not doing kingdom business, you don't need none. You're just going to squander. You people, if I hit the lottery, I'd give $1 million to the church. So what? If you won't give now, you ain't going to give then. You ain't no giver. You're a tipper. And it's just like the woman, the poor widow who threw in the 2 mites. All them other people were throwing that money in the treasury. And the lady with the 2 little cents worth threw her. So Jesus said she gave more than y'all. She gave out of her whole, that was her life she gave. You just give it out of your abundance. Here's some overflow. Oh, I'm going to throw this in there. That ain't giving. Come on, boy. Somebody ought to get ready to learn how to give. And if you don't know, I can take you on a trip, or I can hook you up my good buddy Chuck King. We can take you on a trip. Hang on to all that cash, and I'll bring you to where you can place some real capital right in the feet of people who need it. I'm talking about serious poor. I'm talking about belly swollen up, hair breaking from starvation poor. Come on, you want to go? Bring a wad of cash. Let's go. We'll roll over there. I don't want none of your money. Let's go over there and give it to the poor. I'll be waiting on them phone calls and them emails for y'all to come on, line up, bring that money. I want you to bring so much cash that we have trouble in customs getting into the nations. Bring it with you. We will give it to the poor. I will promise you it'll go hands on to the poor. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read this. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I do a lot of church meetings. Let me tell you, I do a lot of them. And you go ask around and ask how much money we've asked for. Go around there and ask for it. I ain't asking for your money. I don't want your money. God don't want your money. God wants you. He wants all of you, not to be shared. Keep going. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not. The God of this world. Wait a minute. There's a God of this world, a little g God of this world, and it ain't the big G God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't Him. There's a God of this world who blinds the minds of those who are lost. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Remember, God said, let there be light. In the first creation, God said, let there be light. The first created principle is light. In the recreation, in the beginning of the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was with God. And the same was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him not anything was made that was made. In Him was life, and that light is the light of men. His life is the light of men. In the recreation, the light of God comes on in us, and we get recreated in Christ Jesus with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, this is the illumination that God would want you to have. Keep reading. Watch. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, when your heart was darkened by sin, your mind was blinded by your sin, the light shined in that darkness. And it gave the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the revelation. I found a new field. I sold out that old life to buy the new one. And I wasn't heaping up money. I wasn't trying to just cater to Tara Labear and pamper Tara Labear and give to Tara Labear. Tara Labear died. And I began to do what God wanted us to do and live in His economy in the kingdom of God. I sold that old life, bought the new field. Keep going. We have this treasure. What treasure? Here's our treasure. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. A treasure in these earthen vessels, in these clay vessels, the new covenant puts a deposit inside of you and I. It ain't got nothing to do with money. It's got everything to do with the wealth of eternal life. An eternal inheritance. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Man, sell out this life and get the new one. James chapter 5. Let me read you one more. For years, I've looked at this verse. I've never just preached on just this verse, but one day we're going to get after this one. Listen to it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, you rich men. You say, well, that don't include me. I'm not rich. Oh, yes, you are. If you're listening to this broadcast right now, I'm telling you, you're among the elite of the world. You're in the top 20 percentile of the richest people on this planet. Do you understand that? You're the upper one-fifth of the elite financial people of the world. Well, I'm poor. No, you ain't poor. You better shut up. I saw this widow woman who had her five children. She was living in what we would call like a utility job shack. It was like an 8x12, might have been a 16, I can't remember. Her and her five children, no water, no bathroom, no light, no heating and air, none of that. Her five children. She met another widow woman who had three more children. She let them come live with her. Now, I want to talk to you about poor. That is poor. They stacked in there like cordwood in hot climate. See, you've measured your wealth by other elites, and that's not healthy. And riches lie to you, and you can't live content because you think you need more. And that's just proud. Ooh. Go to now, rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Can't even see it, can you? I want to tell you what, there's a lot of rich men who have counted their, they've sat in their counting houses, counting out their money, looking at their 401ks and their portfolios and their stocks and their bonds, and they're grinning ear to ear, and they die and they meet their maker and they're not happy any longer. You got an eternal life of damnation to look forward to. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. You have heaped up treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborer who reaped down your fields, who is all them poor, them folks working for 15 cents an hour making your $200 tennis shoe. That's all them poor Chinese folks sewing in them factories, untold amounts of time, making your Michael Jordan and your LeBron James and your, oh, come on. And then they'd be the first ones who cry, the Nike owner, they'd be the first ones crying about how Americans oppress people. Oh, shut up. Just shut up. The hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, cries and are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. I'll tell you what, God's hearing the cry. He's seeing that little old lady that's sewing them shoes and them kids and them in these sweatshops and factories. And he's seeing the poor worker who's being oppressed by the rich guy. Oh, keep on. Watch careful. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and you've been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You've condemned and killed the just, and he does resist you. Be patient, therefore, brother, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he will receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts for the coming of the law. Lord, draweth near. We talk about treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. Stay with me. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6. I got a few minutes and I'm going to plant some seeds for next week. In Matthew chapter 6. Let's reread our text. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I'm asking you, what are you doing with your as a matter of fact, what do you deem valuable now? You claim Christianity, but what do you deem valuable? Has your value system shifted? This is a very important question to ask. Did your new birth shift your value systems where you do not value the world any longer? Come on. This is the temptation that was thrown at Christ. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These were all thrown at Christ, and they're thrown at you and I. What are we, are you selling out? Are you saying, I don't want the world, I want the kingdom of God? Have you literally burned the bridge? Have you shifted your finance? Have you literally shifted into the kingdom of God and in kingdom bidding and kingdom business? How's your giving toward, look, I know you're the preacher is screaming and hollering, give me tithe, give me tithe, give me tithe. I know what they're saying. And I know a lot of you are obedient to do that. But man, how's your giving in the mission field? Are you literally giving to advance the covenant in the earth? How's your almsgiving? Are you turning your head and won't even look at the little dude on the side holding will work for food? They're just dopers. They want that money. They're going to buy some whiskey. Hey, come on, what are we doing? How's your treasure in heaven? What are you doing? Watch careful. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth. Moth and rust doth corrupt. Thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want you to notice the order in which this is written. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. It doesn't say where your heart is there. Well, with my, y'all don't know my heart. I love the Lord, but I got so many bills I just can't give. No. You understand something? See, because where your treasure, you have literally gone into debt where your true treasure is, and that's where your heart is. You will pay through the nose to get what you want. Americans will leverage everything they have to get their latest piece of glitter. You'll go out on any limb. You'll do whatever it takes to get the one thing you're coveting right now. And then you're sad because it comes with a payment coupon. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. You see, until you have a real rebirth in the heart. You see, there's a lot of people who are being convinced to join this religion and that religion and join this way of thinking and that way of thinking. I understand all that. I'm not talking about that. I ain't even trying to get you to come to my church. What I want you to do is understand that you're probably still a good citizen of the kingdom of this world and you're blinded by the God of this world. Until you get a new heart and a new spirit, you're going to continue to pour everything you have into the gods of this world. I doubt if I'll be invited on TBN anytime soon with this message, but I'm exactly what needs to be on there. Come on, invite me, Mr. Copeland. Invite me, what's the dude's name? What's his name? Osteen. Invite me, Brother Osteen. Invite me, Jesse Duplantis. You may be the poorest man on the planet. Invite me, Kenneth Copeland. I believe y'all are in such poverty. If you could see the ricketiness of your souls lavished in your wealth, you have your reward. Get ready for the next one, your eternal one. Where your treasure, now I want you to hear these two things Jesus follows this up with. Where your treasure is, there's your heart. The light of the body, the physical body. The light of your physical body is the eye. The illuminator of your physical body. It brings in the things you see. It brings it. Let there be light. And you see the things of this world. Say, ooh, 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 ooh. See, the light lets it into your physical body and then it's processed in the, it goes through the heart and the heart is where the seat of value is. And the light says, ooh, I want that. Ooh, look at this. Give me this. Give me that. Oh, I like that tree of knowledge. It's good to eat there. Till this heart, a new heart and a new spirit will I give unto you, and I will pull out the heart of flesh and put in a new heart. I'll pull your old stony heart and put in a heart of flesh, and I will write my laws in your heart and put them in your mind, and I will be your God and you will be my people. Come on. You understand the new birth and the new covenant, and the new covenant says he's going to tear out the old heart and put in a new one that thinks that the kingdom of God is more valuable than the things of this world. And there's a shifting in the economy of what you really value. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is single, look at that word, single. The whole body will be full of light. But if your eye be evil, what? That's the opposite of single? Evil? You know, whoa, this is heavy, dude. But the eye, if your eye be evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness, folks? I want to tell you right now, there are many people who think you're sitting in the light, but you're literally sitting in darkness. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great is the darkness thereof? If you have enfolded a compromised religion where you think you can have the world and eternal life, you're sitting in a lie. And there ain't no greater darkness than that. I would just as soon rather deal with a crack addict, cocaine addict, a harlot, a whoremonger, a homosexual, anybody who in any sin, rather than one in the sin of thinking you're saved when you're not. I don't know how to fit. Boy, you've been inoculated with the vaccine. And I'm not talking about the vaccine, the mRNA vaccines of the COVID treatment. I'm talking about the inoculation of, I got just enough gospel where I'm immune to the real one. I'm saved. I said the sinner's prayer. And the preacher tells me that God just wants me to be prosperous and happy and blessed. Best life now. Purpose. Ooh. If the light that's in you is darkness, how great. You see, you're going after all these things with the promise from the preacher. Yet you're still a wreck. You're still bound in your sin. You're still a mental, emotional wreck. You cannot control yourself. You got to keep sinning. You keep going back to your vomit, yet you I'm saved. And what am I supposed to do with that? Let me hit you with one more and we'll get back on these next week. I got 2 minutes. Here we go. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will just hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let me tell you what the dilemma is this. See, mammon is not just money. Mammon is a demon spirit. I believe a principality. Mammon is a devil. Okay? So it's not just about you serving God and money. We all go to work and make money. That don't necessarily mean you're going serve the devil. But I'm going to tell you what many of you are, because you're sold out to this world system. Okay? God will not share you. Satan will. God will not share you. Satan don't care. Oh, you want to believe in God? That's fine, but you need to believe in what I'm telling you too. Satan don't care if you bounce around with every lover in town. He don't care. He wants to defile you. He wants to defile everything that even says the name of God. God will not share you. You see, you can't serve two masters. Is God your master? Then serve Him. Is Satan your master? Then serve him. Take your pick. Well, I would never serve Satan. Oh, yes, you would. Don't even lie to yourself. Don't even say it. Because if you are sold out to the worldliness, you serve Satan. I don't care what you think that you're going to go to heaven in the end. You're lied to. You're deceived. You're not going to serve this world and enter the kingdom of God. You cannot serve two masters, says the Lord and Savior, the Lord of eternity, the Ancient of Days, the one whose kingdom will be forever and have no end, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, says, you cannot do this. I can see it now. Bro, why are you so angry? Because everybody's deceived and I'm trying to at least shake you awake. I don't know how to wake up this kind of foolishness. To believe exactly contrary to the teaching of Christ and think you're going to go into heaven, you're lied to. No one can serve two masters. He'll hate one. Look at the strong language. Let me tell you something. You want to see if you're a Christian or not? Let circumstances change where your money ain't coming in. Let's see who you love then. Oh boy, money's gone. Oh, hallelujah, God, I'm so blessed. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Money cuts off. God, why are you doing this to me? What happened there? It ain't never, Satan, why do you do this? It's God, why are you doing this to me? He loved one or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. See, hold, you ever, to heaven to hold is a covenant type of word, and despise the other. See, who are you in covenant with, God or Satan? Well, I tithe my money. God don't want you tithe. He wants everything you've got. 100%. Well, I give him the tithe. That's what the preacher told me. I need to tithe. No, God says, I want everything you've got, and I will give you everything I've got. Come on, there's the covenant. 100% of what I have belongs to God, and 100% of what God has belongs to me. That's the covenant. See, faith in that covenant and faith in walking that out. What I have is God's, but what God has is mine. Not a very fair trade. I am the blessed of the day. I am more than a conqueror here. I'm a victor. I'm triumphant. He really ain't getting the good end of that stick. But it was his deal. He wants us. And I'm just thrilled that he does. How much do you require, Lord? What must I do to handle somebody? Oh, I could hear the theologian. You don't do nothing. You believe works. You believe in works. They get all Facebook. You believe in works. Yeah, I do believe in works. What must I do? Jesus answered the question with a, he didn't get all twisted faced. Keep the commandment. And he went away sad because his money was his God. I wonder how many people are going to go away sad on, there's another chapter here. Yeah, stay with me and we'll teach all the way through the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't. We'll get back. We're going to pick this back up next week. Believe it or not, I love you. I say it because so many are deceived right now. You're sitting in darkness thinking you're going to heaven. You've learned a compromised covenant where you can have your world and eternity too. And that ain't nothing but a lie from the devil. The devil is totally tickled pink to share you. God ain't. Think about that till next week. Or sell what you got. Give it to the poor. Find you some poor folks and bless them. If you don't know any, talk to me. I'll help you. I'll point you to them. You didn't even got to give me no money. I'll show you how to give it to them. God bless you. Have a great week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.